from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and thank you for listening into our program today. This is the weekend edition of Life Change Weekend. And I mentioned to you last week that we've had a number of guests come on here for the last 2 or 3 years. I remember back when my good friend Jim Baker, who was at that time the president of Montrose Broadcasting Network, and I talked about this program when we put it together. We appreciate Pastor Bob Kadlicek from the Susquehanna Valley that came on at the beginning. We had others that came on. And then we've had a lot of guests that have been on this program with us. And recently, we have plenty of guests. One of the biggest issues I have is being able to get them all booked, because I'm usually only available to do radio on a Thursday and or a Friday. So what we decided to do then is we're putting some people on that will be regulars. We'll also bring in occasionally some interviews. But Greg Rumo, who is a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic, will be one of them. Rick Ramsey, that you, our radio audience, know well, who is the international director of what we do with our foundation. He'll be one of those. John Jenko, a 90-year-old pastor who has a world of influence in his life and information, will be sharing with us. And today, I'm really glad to welcome to our audience a very dear friend of mine, a man that he and I have known each other for a lot of years, Homer McMillan. And Homer is unique in the sense that he is a pastor of a local church, but he is also an attorney at law. And we are going to talk to him a lot about law and about how our country was founded and various things that are of interest to us. And he will be one of our regulars coming on. Every few weeks, he'll be on with us. And Homer, God bless you, sir. Pastor McMillan, Attorney McMillan, we're delighted you're on here with us today. And welcome to Life Change Weekend.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction. I learned a long time ago not to believe all the nice things they say about you right before you speak, but you're very kind, you know.
Let's talk about how you and I met. We've been friends, and I'm not sure how many years. Maybe you could refresh my mind on it. When did you and I first meet?
It would have been 1989.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have been right after I graduated Bible college and started planting churches in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I remember the event. I didn't remember the date. And so that makes us in about our 30s, right? We're 30 years old. Is that correct? Something like that, you think?
Something on that order, yes, sir.
Now, tell us a little bit of how you became an attorney and a pastor. That's a very unique calling that you have.
I spent a lot of time in my early ministry doing evangelistic work in the nature of church planting. And to fund those efforts, I traveled and spoke in many different churches. Your great church there in Chambersburg was one of them. Those churches would support us or not. And people in those days would ask me, Mac, and folks who know me call me Mac as well as Homer, they'd say, Mac, what can we do to help you? And I'd always say, money, guns, and lawyers. Then I got to thinking, lawyer, I can do that.
How about that?
And so a law school opened in the town that I lived in. It was a for-profit school, and I was enrolled there And then as we came out of the law school experience and were admitted to the bar, we were led of the Lord to engage in pastoral ministry. I've been co-vocational my entire ministry, and so that gives me great opportunity. In fact, we had 5 people in church last Sunday from my law practice, but that's kind of what happened. There's a little bit more backstory there, but that's what happened. God gave the opportunity, and I walked through the door.
So you're pastoring a church now. Where are you pastoring at?
I'm pastor of the Great Highland View Baptist Church in Port St. Joe, Florida. We're about 50 miles to the east of Panama City, Florida, right on the Gulf Coast, right where Hurricane Michael came on shore about 6 years ago, Mexico Beach, Port St. Joe, sister towns.
I've been there in that area. That's a beautiful, I mean, the water there in the Gulf is gorgeous there, I remember. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. And now, where did you get your degree from for law, and where did you get your degree from for theology?
Yes, sir. I graduated from Trinity College of Jacksonville twice. I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree there in, 1987. And then at the same time I was earning my Juris Doctorate in law school, I earned a Master of Ministries with Trinity College of Jacksonville. It was formerly Trinity Baptist College, and was honored to receive a honorary doctorate from them last year. And then the law school I attended was called Florida Coastal School of Law. It was a for-profit law school, independent of any other institution other than 2 other law schools that were operated by the conglomerate that ran them. At some point, someone decided somewhere that they were not worthy to receive federal student loans anymore. The students couldn't receive federal student loans, and so they withdrew that from the school, and it, of course, closed because it didn't have that source of revenue. Mm-hmm. But Florida Coastal School of Law, I'm an alumnus of that.
Yeah. So, and tell us a little bit about your family as well.
Yeah, I have married my wife, Dee. Married her in 1990. And in 1991, Hillary came along, our oldest. And a couple of years later, our son, Homer Inman III. And I always tell people, please pray for our children. Anybody named Hillary and Homer need prayer. And they are a blessing to us. And my wife, Dee, is right alongside me in ministry. The children are up, grown, out of the house, doing their thing. My daughter's an artist, and my son works in a cold weather shelter, helping people get shelter from the weather.
Mm. Well, that's wonderful. And I appreciate you so much, and you've been a blessing to us here. Now, let's talk a little bit about the topic today. And again, when you're on, we're going to be looking at some things that were part of the founding of our country. And one of the issues that you mentioned to begin with that we should talk about is the Bill of Rights. So give us the background to the Bill of Rights. Why do we have a Bill of Rights?
Yes, sir. The significance of the Bill of Rights, of course, cannot be understated. And what is interesting is what you hear from the perspective of many in our culture is that church people, Christian people who are involved in politics are trying to take the rights of people away from them. And there could be nothing further from the truth. In fact, we have a Bill of Rights in large part because Christians were involved in the political process, particularly in Virginia. Of course, Virginia was critical. If she didn't ratify the Constitution, it would not have been successful. The new nation would not have been successful. And some Baptists approached James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, particularly a man named John Leland. And they told them, look, we have suffered persecution at the hands of the state church. You say, well, Mac, surely Virginia didn't have a state church. Well, it most certainly did. It was the Anglican Church, and they paid taxes, people paid taxes, and those taxes in turn paid the salaries of clergy for the state church. You'd never believe this unless you knew Baptists, but Baptists got upset when the state church's salary to the clergy became more valuable. You say, how can salary become more valuable? Because they were paid in tobacco, and tobacco prices were rising. And so the Virginia House of Burgesses passed the Virginia Assembly passed a 2-cent law saying that you could only value their salary at 2 cents and not the previous allocation of tobacco, which was at 6 cents a leaf at that point, if I'm not mistaken. So there's this great controversy. And the Baptists, additionally, were being jailed. Not just Baptists, but dissenters of any kind were being jailed for preaching the gospel. As a matter of fact, I've mentioned James Madison, I've mentioned Thomas Jefferson, but not so commonly mentioned is a fellow named Patrick Henry. Mm. Patrick Henry's been called the Sam Adams of Virginia. Samuel Adams, of course, the more radical and revolutionary of the two Adams brothers that were involved, John becoming eventually president, and Patrick Henry was a firebrand, and there were some Baptist preachers that were jailed in Fredericksburg, Virginia, three of them. And Patrick Henry came and defended them as a lawyer. Now, Patrick Henry was a self-taught lawyer. He didn't go to England to study law, and he didn't apprentice with another lawyer. He taught himself the law, and he defended successfully these individuals, indicating that the state had no right to restrict the preaching of the gospel. So people who say that Christians want to take their rights away from them, they need to understand that John Leland, in essence, communicated to the individuals that wanted to pass the Constitution and ratify the Constitution, he said, without a Bill of Rights, we'll never support it. James Madison promised him a Bill of Rights. Dissenting churches in Virginia, they rallied behind the Constitution. Of course, it was ratified by Virginia, and later there were 12 amendments presented. Only 10 of them passed, and the most precious of the 10 that passed, of course, is the First Amendment. It enshrines the freedom of press and the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and we have those because of preachers.
That's a fascinating story. I really appreciate you sharing that. There are so many stories like that, I believe, as you well know, as well as anybody in our annals today, that tell us really how things began. You're listening into Life Change Weekend Edition. This is Dino Padron chatting with you with my good friend Homer McMillan, pastor and attorney. And today we're talking about the Bill of Rights, and he just gave a great story here about the Bill of Rights. I want to thank many of you who write into us and send us notes and emails. Here's a note that comes to us from upstate New York. Thank you for your dedicated work serving our Lord and Savior so faithfully and truly. I pray regularly for your various outreaches and listen to your program on Saturday Message on WPEL. And this is the program that we're listening to right now. So may the Lord richly bless you and the believers you impact. And I appreciate so much that note. Here's another one that says, sent to us just a couple days ago. It says, thank you for your posts. I look daily to receiving them. We're glad to hear from all of you. Now, again, we're listening into Life Change Weekend, and you mentioned the First Amendment here of the Bill of Rights, freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, petition. The second one is bearing arms. How controversial do you think that is becoming in America? Do you have any feeling on that?
Well, it's a matter of huge controversy, and the question becomes, do we interpret the Constitution as black letter law, or do we interpret the Constitution as something that's supposed to be driven by emotion and intellect. Certainly is not an unintellectual application of the Second Amendment to say this is what it says, the right to keep and bear arms. And then, of course, over the years, the Bill of Rights initially was only applicable to the federal government. Mm-hmm. Virginia and other states, of course, Virginia being a commonwealth, Virginia and other colonies, they would adopt freedoms under their charters and under their eventual constitutions. But the fact is that the English king, he granted a charter to Virginia. And when he did that, the Church of England became the church, and it became the authority and the defining matter and all of the defining authority in all matters of faith and practice. And, you know, what's interesting to me, if I could return to something I started with, is so many want to say that we as Christians want to deprive people of their rights. Most believers, and certainly mainstream theologians in the evangelical community, would never advocate such a position. Mm-hmm. For instance, I love to see people come to church. That's our passion, to see them come to Christ and come to church and do the church on the in the community, be the church in the community. We'd love to see it. It's great. But I would never be supportive of a law that says you have to go to church, because that infringes upon our God-given natural rights as they're expressed in the Bill of Rights. So the controversy in reference to the Bill of Rights has really taken a new flavor since it was incorporated against the states. And that means it's applicable now to the states. And the Supreme Court has held that, and I'm no expert in constitutional law, but the Supreme Court has held that regulation of firearms has to be closely tied to the historical regulation of firearms throughout history, or throughout American history. And by the way, where the First Amendment is the linchpin to our freedoms, the Second Amendment, in many ways, is the guarantor of our freedoms.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
No tyrant takes lightly the fact that American citizenry is armed.
You know, one of the bills, the Bill of Rights, is the fourth one, I believe it is, about unreasonable search and seizure. With the kind of things going on in America with the elected officials, even with a couple of our presidents, how did our forefathers interpret that, in your view?
Well, the problem with English rule and ultimately military occupation was that they would enter into homes without benefit of judicial review, without a warrant. Mm-hmm. And the founders took great offense to that. By the way, it's not just guilty people who invoke their rights. I've had law enforcement talk with me, and I've said, my client is invoking their Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. Mm-hmm. Well, that just means they're guilty. Well, no, it means they're invoking their right to remain silent. Mm-hmm. But returning to the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, the law is not designed to let bad guys get away. It's not built that way. What this does is it protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And no warrants can issue without probable cause. You have to get in front of a judge, say, Judge, these are the circumstances. I'm swearing to these facts. You swear out the affidavit as a law enforcement officer, a judge signs a warrant. None of that happened under British rule. They went where they wanted, and they looked where they pleased. Mm-hmm. And that's offensive to the natural rights that we have.
You know, that's fascinating stuff, my friend. The 10th Amendment, I want you to say just a word about this. I think there's a lot of concern of what are the states' rights and what are the powers that are regulated by the federal government. And I believe the 10th Amendment addresses some of that. We have just a couple of minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes left here. Maybe you could address that for us. I think that's an important one for listeners to think through.
Yes, sir. It's a critical amendment, but it's generally ignored in constitutional analysis. Mm-hmm. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. And it's unfortunate that the 10th Amendment is not applied more strictly to actions of both the federal and state governments. The fact is that the people have natural rights that are reserved even from the state. And the 10th Amendment, were it properly given weight, would help to ensure that the federal government did not overstep its authority with the states. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how time has flown, and we're going to run out, as you let me know. But there's a whole topic in this matter of states' rights. Mm-hmm. And I saw a sign that a protester was holding up who was protesting against the ICE agents in Minnesota, and it said, "We believe in states' rights." Well, guess what? So do we. So do I. 10th Amendment's important.
Yeah, it really is. This has been fascinating, by the way. And, you know, I know you have a number of subjects you've got lined up for us down the road. And if you want to address this one again, that would be terrific, I think, because there's so much here. Just before we went on, I was just reflecting on each of these numbers of the Bill of Rights. There's only 10, but boy, are they powerful, and they speak volumes. So thanks for being on, and we're looking forward to having you on a regular basis, Matt. God bless you, and thank you for your ministry to the church there, and thank you for what you're doing in the area of helping us to understand what our country is really like with its laws. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, we have our Bible studies. I do Monday through Thursday. And then we have a few colleagues that come on and join us on Fridays. And we study through the Word of God together. And you'll have to check where you live at as to when this is on in your area. The Saturday edition also is on in all of our areas. We're on in East Africa now. All of the English-speaking nations there. We are on a number of places in Mission Go on their satellite network. There's a number, dozens and dozens of places we're at. And we're so glad for the original that got us going with all of this, the Montrose Broadcasting Network, and the people that are there that are doing a wonderful work. I think we're on 8 or 10 stations there as well. So thank you all for listening in. And I want to remind you that we support pastors in the country of Myanmar. And if you'd like to send a gift toward them, you can address it to our ministries, Dino Padron Ministries, 433 Plaza Real. That's 433 Plaza Real, Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. And if you want to go to our webpage, just simply go to Dino Padron Ministries, and there's a PayPal, other places, other things there where you can send a gift in for these people. And just earmark it where you want it sent. Again, thank you so much. Thank you for listening into Life Change. Life Change is what you need. Life Change is what I need, and that comes to us with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.